B3. Number 15B.
So we know in abbreviate the shortcut way what is the backbone, the diagonal you can consider, so to say, as the backbone of a matrix, the most important aspects of it. So it teaches us quite a lot. It teaches us, say, this diagonal teaches us, yes, that's nice, if you feel that you want to heal through spiritual consciousness and that you will let down beliefs, that's prayer, that's nice. And it is very nice if you feel I turn to Christian Science, because the sixth chapter Christian Science tells us that there is a principle of healing, and that that principle of healing is the one truth, healing through the medicine of mind, and you say that's fine. And if you feel you can leave it at there because you have found the principle, it doesn't work. It only begins to work when in the next box, in the 11th chapter, one begins to feel, oh, well, then I have to give up, or I have to take that theory and make it practical by putting on all that is Christ-like. And so you are pushed, so to say. You see, a matrix is a guide. A matrix guides thought always further and further in the step and says, you are not yet at the end. Your whole standpoint is not yet complete until you go on and on and on until you come to the last standpoint of apocalypse, where it says, but you know, spiritual understanding is not just the wishful thinking. Spiritual understanding is not just stating spiritual understanding. It's actually investigating thoroughly its inner scientific structure, and then it is the universal panacea. Then it is that prism that takes care of all the human misery. So it pushes and pushes. It says, you can't stop there. You have to go on, you see. At every point in the matrix, something says, you can't stop there. It's right where you are, but get on. Get to the next one. In order to have a holy consciousness, a complete consciousness. Yes. Well, that's the matrix as we have considered it. And now we could ask ourselves another question, namely, we could ask, what is now the difference, say, between this answer here, which we have received through the whole textbook on one side, and on the other side, the whole layout of the 12th chapter, Christian Science Practice? What is now the difference? Why should we consider the whole textbook if we have one chapter which deals specifically with Christian Science Practice? And therefore the question is legitimate to ask, what is the difference? Or to ask, is there any similarity in it? Does the one exclude the other, or does the one complement the other? Is there a complementarity in those two presentations or not? So let's quickly think over and compare this matrix as we have it, and compare it with last year's finding on the 12th chapter as preparatory work. You had studied that 12th chapter according to what we did last year. And so I just want to remind quickly, and you have certainly that now in your mind, that the 12th chapter has four parts, as we know, that those four parts we have put also in four columns. And the first column, as you remember, we said is a description of what makes a practitioner. It was that statement of love and mind, the practitioner's attitude from the point of fulfillment, seeing always only the perfect idea. I don't know if you have this little chart in front of you, which we have made last year, where we see, therefore, the 12th chapter in that first column was depicting the practitioner's attitude towards the case, which is the attitude really of a mentality of perfection. Perfection, love, mentality, mind. That loves mind. Love loves mind. If I would write that out in English, you see, it would be love, capitalized, loves mind, mind capitalized. It is that what love knows about itself, and therefore about the case. And we saw last year that there she depicts really the inner quality that the practitioner has to have, that he himself must show forth a quality of perfection, perfection of mind, of spirit, of soul, of principle, life, truth, and love, that is the very first thing before he begins to give a treatment. He must see and work on himself also, so that he is that what he thinks. He cannot be something else than what he thinks afterwards in his treatment. That's why it is so interesting that that practice or treatment starts not with a treatment, but with depicting the spiritual status and attitude of a practitioner. Now, if we consider this and compare it with the first column of our matrix here, we see that they are not the same. That they are not the same. But they have some kind of relationship. Because in the matrix, we have said in the word, how can we attain spiritual healing power? Therefore the question, what enables us to be a practitioner? And then, really, in the 12th chapter, in that first column, Mrs. Eddy answers that in more detail. It says, what makes the nature of a practitioner? And shows that he must see himself perfection, he himself must be good and pure and selfless, that he must win first his own pardon, that he must have a full sense of life and be willing to lay down a mortal sense of Christ, that he himself must grow in the Christ manhood and be able to anticipate the fulfillment, that what we had in that first column. You remember? So, in a way, you can see the similarity, namely that the 12th chapter in the first column, so to say, gives now the practical answer to the proposition that has been stated in the first four chapters. First four chapters, how can I attain the quality and ability of healing power? And therefore, the first column in the 12th chapter gives you a practical answer. Let's take the second column in practice. There we saw that is giving really the form of treatment, the content of treatment, where that second column has the tone of truth and mind, the truth the practitioner has to know. So it is now giving the content of the truth consciousness that the practitioner has. What truth does he have to know? Truth and mind. Because it shows that truth and mind heals. And therefore he has to know that truth, and what kind of truth he has to know which heals. Now if we look, am I going too fast? If we look then at the second vertical in our matrix, the second vertical in the matrix, there we had something very similar. We had there that truth healing, is accomplished through mind. The whole vertical and the epitome on that second vertical is truth healing through mind, truth mind. But it's naturally different. In the matrix, therefore in those four chapters, Mrs. Eddy only presents really the principle of healing. It says the principle of healing is truth healing through mind. Therefore, when we go to the 12th chapter and look at the second part of that 12th chapter, there we have also truth and mind, but naturally, again, in the practical sense, namely that there she tells us exactly what kind of truth the practitioner has to know which will heal. There we have seen that that whole second part is elaborated through the seven synonymous terms and shows very clearly the kind of truth the practitioner has to know. And going through the seven, he shows there that the truth we have to know is, first of all, that mind is all, therefore we'll cover every situation, that treatment in mind is spirit, and that spirit is actually the only reality and the substance of that case, that soul, what he has to know is soul, the incorporeality and sinlessness of man, so that he is not dealing with a corporeal man and a sinful man, but with the eternal truth about man, that he is incorporeal and sinless. In principle, we see that he has to see as the truth of man that there is a scientific basis and not a corporeal, personal basis on which to give a treatment. Then in life, it shows in that 12th chapter that man is always sustained by the fullness of life. Therefore, he has never had any lack of health, lack of opportunities, lack of faculties, lack of abilities. That is always the truth that the practitioner knows is the fullness of man. In truth, that man as idea has dominion, so that the treatment we give in the truth has dominion over the case. And in love, that there is no penalty in love, and so can see that the man is never penalized. So can you see, here she gives a detailed or an elaborated presentation of the fundamental point that truth heals through mind. Therefore, this is only a super symbolization of a treatment, and that therefore in the 12th chapter she breaks it down and says, now what is that truth healing through mind, and elaborates it. But can you see, they are not showing the same thing, though they could be symbolized through the same synonymous term, truth and mind, but they have a different place value. If we go to the next column, to that third column in the chapter on practice, we had that it is the method the practitioner has to use, and we symbolized it with life and soul, By the way, in the illustrative material at that time, we made a mistake, a printing mistake. It is there, mind and soul. It should read life and soul. And in that third part of the 12th chapter, in practicing, it shows the attitude that the practitioner has to have in order to stay, so to say, with the reality of things, to stay with the immortal life, with the immortal identities, soul of being. That he has to stay with those immortal facts of being no matter what happens. That they are really the reality of the case. So his method is to stay with the idea and not be sidetracked and not be influenced by anything else. Now, if we go now to our matrix and look at the third column, the Christianity column, we have seen that there really Mrs. Eddy presents that really healing is based on the fact that we lift healing to the point of perfect principle, perfect idea, that we see actually that there is always health, never sickness, that the identity of being is health. And if we stay with that concept, that we see that all healing can be lifted up to the point of perfect principle and idea, that we free the whole situation from its corporeal arguments and bring it into the realm of ideas. That's what is shown there. Through that whole vertical, it is a great sense that we lift everything into the realm of ideas. And the practice of it is that we stay in the realm of ideas. And that's the 12th chapter. That's the practice of it. That we stick to that realm of ideas. And therefore, that third column, a part in practice, you know, begins, I always take that as a point of orientation where she starts out the third part, you know, where she said, a blundering dispatch mistakenly announcing the death of a friend occasions the same grief that the friend's real death would bring. You think that your anguish is occasioned by your loss. Another dispatch, correcting the mistake, heals your grief, and you learn that your suffering was merely the result of your belief. And then she goes on to show, you see, what was wrong about the whole thing? That we believed it, that we didn't stay with the ideas, that we didn't stay with the identities of being that are unchangeable, life, soul. We should stay with those ideas of being that are unchangeable, soul, and therefore only let in the ideas that are unchangeable and reject the beliefs. So in that third part, we had that sense of acknowledging the facts and refuting error. That's the practical way of staying with the idea, with the truth of being. To refute, reject all the arguments against the idea. So, can you see, they are not the same, but they are related as complementary aspects. Huh? The one that the matrix always, so to say, gives us the theory, says this is the fundamental theory. In the 12th chapter, really we get the practice of it by saying, now I accept this theory, I don't accept another theory, I accept the theory, and I practice that theory. You see, we went out on the first hour where we said, what is practice? Practice is to choose the right theory. That's practice. Practice is not taking any old theory and try to put it over on a case. Here we see that very nicely brought out, that what the 12th chapter presents is actually taking the whole textbook, as its theory, and elaborate on that theory. Begins to see it in its infinite ramification without deviating from the system. Then, as a last, we have in the 12th chapter, we have the fourth part where it is shown how the patient is healed, how we get the proof of this science. In the fourth part? Yeah. In the fourth part, we get the proof, mental treatment illustrated. There, she shows how the treatment affects the patient, changes the situation of the patient. He gets healed to the point where he could say, sickness is not there, And therefore we have the scientific proof of healing. In the last column, vertical column of the textbook, we have the same thing. There we also always get the sense that Christian Science heals, and that therefore it proves itself. We have there in that whole column that the ethics of Christian Science is to adhere to the science, and only by adhering to the rules of science we can prove it. Recapitulation says yes, and this science proves itself through a whole system of metaphysics, to the point where in Genesis again it is said God does not know disease. Exactly the same as in the fourth part in the 12th chapter. Disease was not there. Here in Genesis, God has no record of disease. He does not know disease. Disease is not there. And so finally, in the chapter on Apocalypse, she shows, if you see the scientificalness of science, the prism of science, then you can deal and prove the nothingness with all the human claims. Isn't that? So I think it's worthwhile pondering this thing. This investigation is a first attempt to see something about the ramification of a whole textbook, and its application or practice within the 12th chapter, and seeing that that practice is nothing else but to take the whole textbook as it is. Can you see now my answer? The answer which I have asked right at the beginning of this whole treatise on healing, that practitioners all through those 100 years have always asked, where do I find a method for practice? And I've never found it in the textbook, and therefore we have seen that each period of progress has brought forth different kinds of giving a treatment, that actually every teacher has by experience and by empirical practice somehow stated his way of an order of treatment. And we have said, but this should be somewhere in the textbook. We actually should find that order of treatment in the textbook and not somewhere in an empirical findings. And I think in this way we may approach the answer to this question. Isn't it? That we approach the answer to this question and begin to see, well, if we see the textbook structurally and see it as a structural answer, then the whole textbook as structure is the theory, and that chapter on practice is nothing else but to practice that theory, that whole theory, practicing the whole textbook. I don't know what you feel. It makes me happy. It's terrific. If one has loved that textbook for a whole lifetime and has tried to investigate it and somehow was running up a lot of difficulties and just didn't seem to yield anymore anything, and then the moment one sees the science, approaches the old textbook with a scientific mentality, with scientific tools, that's the main thing. They have scientific methods, they have scientific tools. And not to take the old paradigm of inspiration and I don't know what and mysticism and put that into the textbook. If we take scientific tools, scientific methods, that textbook yields something. It's a big treasure trove, and every time when one approaches it again with a new paradigm, it yields more treasures. That's what a science does. Okay, that's the subject on healing, and we make a break here.